From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The very first Tlingit opera in production is about the Tlingit-Russian wars at the start of the 19th century. The opera is still in the early development stages, but the creators say it's bound to be an epic production. I spoke to the creators for this story.
Kudesa.
This is a sample of a song written by Ed Littlefield for an untitled Tlingit opera. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute recently announced the opera's development, which will be based on the true story of the Tlingit-Russian War in 1802 and 1804. Littlefield says one word has been used to describe the story so far.
We've been throwing out the word epic, you know, in a lot of our conversations. And that story, that real life story that happened, you know, in Tlingit Ani, in our backyard, you know, it is a very important one. And it's, you know, either way it could have gone would affect, you know, the area for years to come.
The story of those battles have been told by generations of Tlingit. But even while the source material is written, it's too soon to say exactly what the opera will be like in detail. The creators hope to show audiences Tlingit song, dance, and art in its many forms.
It's already a built-in up and down. You know, there's triumphs, there's sacrifice, there's, you know, there's explosions. Literally, there's explosions.
The idea for the opera started with Rosita Wuerl, president of Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Several years ago, she was doing research on the Tlingit-Russian wars.
In my mind, I could actually just see the scenes, you know.
Wuerl imagined vivid details of a battle on the beach, like the beating of the drums, the Tlingit women wailing war cries, and even the foggy weather.
I was thinking this would be awesome, you know, to see this visually, and also, you know, and I wanted to hear the sounds, you know, that were ongoing, you know, with the scene.
Wuerl asked Vera Starbird to write the opera. Starbird says she hopes that audiences can learn about the sophistication of different Tlingit art forms.
There's this dominant narrative in American culture that says indigenous anything is less than, is more simplistic, is savage. I mean, we've literally grown up with that narrative as a country. Mm. And yet we've been doing performing arts pieces for thousands of years and have really emphasized what we might call production value.
Starbird says she hopes that audiences will learn the lessons from the history itself.
What it says about how coordination and working together as many different autonomous groups made for a successful campaign against what could be seen as a much more powerful force in just sheer numbers and literal gunpowder.
The opera will be a collaboration between Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and Perseverance Theater. Leslie Ishii is the artistic director at Perseverance Theater. She says the opera's development is a years-long process.
So it's an interesting way to produce and a great opportunity to decolonize our spaces. Continue to re-indigenize and, in this case, re-Tlingitize our spaces as well.
The first ever Tlingit opera doesn't have a set release date yet, but Littlefield, the composer, says as the opera evolves, he hopes the story is shared around the state and hopefully the world. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña. In other news, the new moon appeared in the night sky on Monday. That kicked off the holy month of Ramadan for Muslims around the world. Alaska Public Media's Alex Trinan visited the state's largest mosque to see how Muslims in Anchorage are celebrating.
Tuesday night in the Islamic Community Center in South Anchorage, there's hardly a sound to be heard, even though there are about 50 men in the sanctuary. An analog clock hanging on the wall counts down the time until 9 p.m. Suddenly, a man in a down vest and athletic pants steps up to the microphone. So begins the Ishra, the last of five prayers Muslims are obliged to take every day during the 30 days of Ramadan. The service starts with a recitation of prayers.
As basically for guidance, for forgiveness, for removal of debt, of sorrow, of sadness, all these kind of emotions, the bad emotion to kind of be removed and lifted, be lifted and just replaced by good emotion.
Yusuf Barber is a doctor in Anchorage and a spokesperson for the Islamic Community Center. He says that the prayers this year were especially meaningful after all in-person services were canceled last year because of COVID. This year's prayers for healing and recovery were especially important.
I'm sure a lot of people in the congregation has either themselves been sick or know someone who was sick. Yeah. So
after the opening prayers, the service moves to a recitation of the Quran, about a chapter a day for 30 days. Every few minutes, the congregants kneel and prostrate themselves, touching foreheads to the ground. The evening prayers are just one small part of Ramadan. Another is the daily fast, traditionally held from sunrise to sunset. In Alaska, with its long daylight hours, that can be difficult, so most Muslims choose to use sunset time in Mecca, around 6:40 p.m. In most years, it's a daily celebration at the mosque, says Barber.
It is a nice time to connect with other people in the community, and everybody brings his own plate, and it's people share, and it's nice kind of every day, every night. But this year, we're not doing this.
Still, Barber says it's good to at least have part of the celebrations together, even with masks and 6 feet apart. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Lex Trinan.
An aerospace technology company is considering building key parts of a satellite network in Alaska, including Ketchikan, Nome, and Fairbanks, that it says could help improve internet access across the globe. It's part of a project called Starlink by California-based SpaceX that is currently being developed. The company advertises relatively low-cost satellite dishes that it says could eventually offer high-speed satellite internet, even in sparsely populated areas of the planet. The company plans to build ground stations around the world with facilities spanning the globe from Europe to Australia to the southern tip of South America. SpaceX filed an application last week with the Federal Communications Commission to build a gateway Earth station consisting of 8 antennas at a site in Ketchikan. In its application, the company says the 9-foot antennas would transmit and receive broadband data between the company's satellites and the terrestrial internet. Ketchikan-based engineer Brett Serlin, contracted by SpaceX, told the Planning Commission Tuesday that the facility would control and track the company's satellites, which aim to bring broadband internet to underserved areas.
So it is a global high-speed internet system to provide access for internet, relatively low-cost internet, like $100 a month is what they're looking at right now, to people in locations that are very challenging to develop the infrastructure for internet. So Alaska is one of their primary areas they're focusing on.
While most areas of Ketchikan are connected to fiber optic or copper wire telephone networks, the satellite network would help bring internet access to more remote locations. Serlin said SpaceX is also looking to build ground stations in Fairbanks and Nome. SpaceX applied for an FCC permit for the Fairbanks facility last week. SpaceX was at one point in talks with the city of Ketchikan to lease around 3,000 square feet of city land in the Shoop Street area of south of town, but Ketchikan City Manager Carl Amelon wrote in a memo Thursday that the company is now looking elsewhere. That's after the Planning Commission postponed issuing a land use permit for the facility. Neighbors had complained saying they weren't properly notified of the company's plan. The commission did approve another permit request from SpaceX in a commercial area near Ketchikan's Walmart. It's not clear if SpaceX intends to move forward with the Rex Allen Drive site. The company hasn't returned calls and emails. And Governor Mike Dunleavy on Thursday ordered an investigation after the state shared individuals' personal information with Anchorage's municipal government without authorization. The governor's office says people working on behalf of Anchorage's government contacted individuals about COVID-19 vaccine info. For more on this story, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.